Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I ask over the next few minutes, Father, that you would give me the words to speak, Father. And Father, that you would anoint me, Father, to deliver the message, Father, that you would have me to deliver today. And I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yesterday, Mary and I took a little time and went to a few yard sales, and it was kind of interesting because we got down here in Columbia because we were headed down here to take care of some other things, and we turned where we saw a yard sale sign, and then we turned where we saw it, and we went around and came back out in a big circle back out onto the same street that we'd started out on initially and never found that yard sale. But as we're pulling out back onto Trotwood, I happen to notice down a side street, there's no signs on Trotwood, but down a side street, I see a yard sale. So we'll go down there, I said. And we go down there. And in there, there's an older black man came out and was talking to us and as we were getting ready to leave, and he was boxing up the stuff that Mary bought. He began to talk to us. We went on to find out that he was a pastor of a primitive Baptist church in Hohenwald, Tennessee. Been pastoring for, I forget how many years, he said 30 some years, I believe, close to 40. And we spent some time talking to him then, and we talked about how people, the world conditions, and how people don't really want to listen to what the Word of God has to say anymore. And they don't want to obey the Word of God. But as we were talking, he said a couple of things that just kind of struck chords with us. One of the things he said was he had a slogan: I'm tight, but I'm right. And then he told us about a sermon he'd preached, and I really kind of wish we could have heard that sermon. His title was On the Road to Hell with a Bible in my hand. How many have ever thought about that? There are people who are on the road to hell, and yet they're going down that road carrying a Bible in their hand. I want to examine these two statements. Tight, but I'm right. What does tight mean? Tight can actually mean firm, demanding, strict attention to rules and procedure. A person's tight, that means they're demanding adherence to rules and procedure. And quite honestly, folks, there are a lot of people in the church world today that don't want to follow the rules and procedures. You say the church has got rules and procedures? You better believe it. The Bible is full of stuff that it tells us that we need to do. There are certain things that God says you do this and you don't do this. I call those rules. Oh no, we're not living under the law anymore. We're living under grace. Yes, He saved us by grace, but He gave us rules to live by.
That's right.
Rules to follow. Well, people don't want to follow the rules. Bible says in Matthew chapter 7 verse 14, Matthew chapter 7 verse 14, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. I want to read that again from the Complete Jewish Bible. It says, but it is a narrow gate and a hard road that leads to life, and only a few find it. You got to work at being a Christian sometimes. I mean, the devil comes along and he throws all kinds of things out there that try to entice you to do things that God doesn't want you to do. He tries to entice you to fall back into sin. And there are a lot of people who do. They fall back into sin. And they begin to do the things that the Bible tells us we shouldn't be doing. He says it's a straight road. And it can be a hard road sometimes. Living a Christian life isn't always easy. You know, we've used the terminology sometimes about life being a bed of roses or this, that, or then some people I've heard say, well, being a Christian isn't a bed of roses. And I've told people I think it is a bed of roses. Christian life is a beautiful life, but every rose bed has what?
Thorns.
Thorns. And we do run into some thorns along our Christian walk, and they're ones that reach out and nab us sometimes. And you know, sometimes if you're gardening and you've got flowers that, whether they're roses or other type that have thorns on them, you reach in as you're working with them, you'll get cut, you'll get stuck by those thorns. And sometimes you'll pull your hand back out and it'll be bleeding because you got stuck by one of those thorns. Sometimes you get knocked down and beat up a little bit along your Christian walk, but we know that we can get up and walk straight forward at the hand of God upon our lives if we're doing what He asks us to do. So it's a straight walk. The word right. Right means free from error, especially conforming to fact or truth, the correct answer, the correct version, the right answer, took the right road, the right decision. It simply means right is free from error. That's the first definition of it. It's free from error. Not only the word truth here. Truth is a fact that has been verified, conformity to reality or actuality. And Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Again, in the complete Jewish Bible, it says Yeshua said, I am the way, and the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. There is no other way you get there.
Amen.
Now, I know there's a lot of other people want to believe there's different ways. But He said, this is the truth. I am the truth, I am the way, I am the life, and you're only going to get to the Father through me. The truth, or the fact of the matter is, there's only one road to heaven. And that's through Jesus Christ, Yeshua the Messiah, is that road. That's a fact. That's what's right. That's the truth. So, tight but right. It's a strict road. It's a tight road. It's a narrow road. And the only one way, the right way, and that's Jesus Christ. We got to be living that life. Now, that does that mean that as a Christian, you've got to go through life being a sourpuss? A scowl on your face all the time? Somebody that looks like they're sucking lemons? I remember this. I heard this guy say this yesterday, and I hadn't heard it in years. And we used to have a pastor when I was a kid that would say, you look like you've been sucking lemons. And there are a lot of people think that to be a good Christian, they got to look like they're sucking lemons all the time. And they got to dress like they were dug out of the bottom of the rag barrel. You know, they think that makes them look holy. I don't know. Jesus said that He is the way. He's going to bless us. And I think as a blessed part, as a child of God, we should go through our life, living our life as best we can, being happy, inviting people to know Jesus. Nobody wants to know Jesus if He's just all the time sour and dour and miserable. Well, why would people want to follow a God like that? If all you got to look forward to is a life of gloom, people aren't going to want to follow that. But He is a God who blesses His people. He should give us happiness. Yes, He demands holiness. But that holiness comes from in the heart. It's not what you put on the outside that makes you holy. It's not how you comb your hair that makes you holy. It's not whether or not, ladies, you wear makeup that makes you holy. It's none of those things that make you holy. It's what's on the inside that makes you holy. And it bleeds through to the outside and begins to show. And there are some people who go around dressing like they got to dress a certain way to be holy, and you find out some of them aren't really so holy either. Look at your cults. Most of them put requirements on what people wear, this, that, and the other. Put a lot of restrictions on stuff. And they're by no means living a holy life. Some of the most ungodly things go on in some of these things. There was one that was just in the paper just yesterday where they made some arrests because of situations that are going on. And this cult's been around for as long as I can remember, I guess, back into the 50s that I first heard of it. But they put strict, they've got their people under their thumb, and they make them do certain things, and you've got to dress certain ways, and you've got to talk certain ways, and you've got to do this, that, or the other. But Jesus says, you only come to God through me. Like I said, I wish I could have heard his message. I'm on my way to hell with the Bible in my hand. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, which is the previous one here that we read earlier. It says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Complete Jewish Bible reads, go in through the narrow gate, for the gate that leads to destruction is wide, and the road broad, and many travel it. There's a lot of people on that broad road, and some of them are carrying a Bible. They go to church, but they don't know Jesus Christ. There are a lot of people that go to church that don't know Jesus Christ. They may be religious, but I've told you before and I tell you again, it is not religion that's going to get you to heaven. It is a relationship with God the Father through His Son, Jesus Christ, and that is the only thing that's going to get you there. And I don't care who it is that tells you something different, they're a liar. The truth is not in them. I read some interesting statistics. Did you know that 57%, and this is shocking, 57% of evangelical Christians no longer believe Jesus is the only way to God. They don't believe their Bible anymore. 57%. 50% of evangelical Christians believe or say that you can get to heaven by doing good works. The rich young ruler came to Jesus by night. He had done all the good works. He had kept the law, it said. And believe you me, the law was not hard to keep because it was more than the Ten Commandments. It was hundreds of commandments that had been added on that were not part of what God had written down in the Ten Commandments. But man had added on to it. He had kept the law. And Jesus said, but that's not it. Then there was the man who came and said, what must I do? And Jesus said, you must be born again. You can live a fantastic life. You can live a good life. But that's not what gets you there. It's not what gets you to heaven. Just leading a good life. There are a lot of people who wish that that was the case. But unfortunately, they're on that broad road. They're on their way to hell with that Bible in their hand. And of course, more and more Christians, it seems like, well, look at the percentages there, are falling for the New Age hogwash that I am God. And I remember this going back for many years. And some people in prominent evangelical circles were getting up and saying, we're little gods. We're little gods. There's nothing divine about any of us. And I'll tell you something else. When we get to heaven and we get that glorified body, we're still not going to be gods. We're adopted into God's family, but that still doesn't make us a god. And there are a lot of people out there that today try to teach that we are gods. That spark of divinity is in us. Yes, in a sense it is, because God put that spark of life in us that came from a divine source, that life that's in us, but that doesn't make us God. Some very prominent, quote-unquote celebrities on television are telling you that they're gods. And if you need to buy the book that they're promoting and read that book and you'll be okay, you're going to heaven because now you're a god. And you don't even need the Bible then because you've got their book. And I know there's a scripture in Psalms that says this. I have said, Psalms 82:6, I have said, ye are gods, lowercase. Ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. So now I want to read that to you out of the complete Jewish Bible. It says, my decree is, you are Elohim. Gods, judges in brackets there. Sons of the Most High, all of you. So I looked up the Hebrew word here that's used, Elohim. Can also be translated magistrate, judges, godly people. You've got to know what the word meant to start with. It's just like our words. Isn't it interesting how some of our words can be spelled the same way and have totally opposite meanings sometimes? And you've got to know the context of the word to know what word it is. You've even got to know the context of the word to know how to pronounce it, even though it's spelled the same way as another word. And I could think of several of these words the other day, and right now my mind almost goes blank. But let's find one that comes out of the Bible. Because Melody used to do this. In the Bible, there was the book of Job. The book of Job. But we call it the book of Job because Job is a name, and Job is a work that you do. What you do for your living or your work. Two different meanings. One spelling. And there are other words that are like that. You've got to know what the word means. Sometimes we've got to do a little research. English is sometimes lacking because we use one word to mean a lot of different things. And by the same token, the Hebrew did the same thing sometimes. It used one word to mean several different things. So it could mean your judges, your magistrate, Adonai, Lord. And yet, today in the English courts, when they get up to address the various people within the court, my Lord. In fact, in some courts, even in the United States, they still say, I pray thee, my Lord, that you hear this case, or whatever. Because they go back to Old English terminology. We're calling them lords. And of course, in the British Empire, they still have lords and ladies. And if you go back and you find the word, it could be the same word, but have the different meaning. We know that when we look at... the only one I can think of at the moment is Lord Paul McCartney, I think it is. Or any... some of these singers, you know, that come along and you hear their name a lot on the news. But just because they've now been declared that they're Lord somebody, does that make them divine? No way. They still bleed red blood just like you do. Now, I know if they were living in Tennessee, they'd tell you they bleed orange blood, but, you know, that doesn't make them divine. So the word here can mean you're a magistrate, you're a godly person, and as children of God, we should be godly people. People should see God through us. When they look upon us, they are to see God dwelling in us. But that does not make us God. Some people have said, and it's very true, that your life and the way you live is the only book that some people will ever read that has to do about Christianity and God. They're going to go by what you as a Christian are living. what your life is showing. They may never pick up the Bible, but they'll sure watch what some of you as Christians do. We are to be godly people. We are to be sons of the Most High. But the next verse, Psalms 82, verse 7, says, "But you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes." Now hold it. Divine beings don't die. It says you're going to die like men. Jewish Bible says, "Nevertheless, you will die like mortals, like any prince you will fall." And I'll tell you, every one of these people, if the Lord tarries, every one of these people that's getting up on television and putting out books that saying they're gods is going to die, and there is someday you're going to be gathered around somewhere, a funeral service, before you plant them in the ground. Because they're not God. And of course, I know some of these people within the Christian realm that taught that we were little gods. They also used John chapter 10, verse 34, where Jesus actually quotes Psalms 82:7, or 82:6. And it says, "And Jesus answered them, saying, Is it not written in your law? I said, You're gods," but it's a lowercase g. It means you're godly. It means you could be magistrates. It could mean different things here. It does not say that you are a divine being. There is nowhere there it says you are a divine being. But people take these things out of context and they run with them. And they start a whole new religion, quote unquote, based on one word they've taken out of context or one scripture they've taken out of context. The Jewish Bible reads here, Jesus or Yeshua answered them, "Isn't it written in your Torah, I have said you people are Elohim?" But again, what did Elohim mean? Magistrates? Godly people? Didn't mean they were divine. There are people on their way to hell, but going to church on Sunday and carrying their Bible in their hand because they don't know, they don't accept, or they don't understand what the Word of God has to say to us. They don't understand it. Yesterday, we were over at Reese and Katrina's, and in the process of some stuff, we blew a ground fault circuit interrupter, which I guess they're still having trouble finding where that circuit's at. But we began to look up what this had to do, and I was talking to Katrina. She called me last night, and I said, "Well, I'm working on my message here." And she said, "Well, why don't you talk about being grounded in God?" Because we had mentioned this. And so I'm going to close with this part of it because I thought it does kind of fit in with what I'm talking about here. Because, you see, a ground fault circuit interrupter senses the current flowing through you because not all of the current is flowing from the hot to neutral as it expects. Some of it's flowing through you to the ground, and as soon as the ground fault circuit interrupter, or GFCI, senses that, it trips the circuit and cuts off the electricity so you don't get shocked. If things are properly grounded, you're not going to get shocked. You get shocked, it hurts. Doesn't always feel good, you know. I know when I was in high school, I took electric shock, and we had to make this little thing that you crank this thing, and you had two little metal tubes, and you held one in each hand, and somebody else, and you got a little current flowing through you, and you'd begin to shake from it almost, you know, because they wanted you to see what the current felt like. But I'll tell you, you get enough of that voltage, I'll tell you, you become a crispy critter. Don't take a whole lot of time to do it either. And a lot of people are not grounded in the Word of God. And as a result, they end up being cut off because they're not grounded in God's Word. Colossians chapter 1, verse 23 says, "If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." It says you've got to be grounded in the Word. That same verse in the Jewish Bible says, provided, of course, that you continue in your trusting, grounded, and steady, and don't let yourselves be moved away from the hope offered in the good news you've heard. This is the good news that's been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and I shall have become a servant of it. It's the good news that's in this book, the Word of God, the Bible. We've got to be grounded in it. If we're grounded in it, we're not going to be led astray by some winds of doctrine that have nothing to do with what God is speaking through His Word. And I'll tell you, folks, there are a lot of winds of doctrine out there today that are being preached in churches throughout the land and throughout the world that are not grounded. They are not based in the Word of God. Oh, they find some scripture and they take it out of context and they run with it. But when you begin to examine it, you cannot back it up by what the Word of God has to say. Because we're not grounded in the Word of God. And unfortunately today, sad to say, there are a lot of people sitting in church auditoriums around the world, and unfortunately a whole lot of them in the United States, that are not grounded in the Word of God. They're sitting there, they don't know. You could tell them anything. And they don't know. It's pretty easy to go in there and pick something out, take it out of context, and run with it. And you'll find a lot of people are going to follow you and believe it. People don't really want to hear the truth because the truth convicts. The truth sometimes makes you feel bad. What's right is right. And what's wrong is wrong. We've got to be grounded in the Word of God. We've got to have that current flowing properly. Otherwise, we will be cut off. It's as simple as that. Father, I pray today that something that's said would have touched the hearts of folks that are listening to this message, whether it be here in the auditorium today or by internet or CD, Father. And I just pray, Father, that you'd speak to hearts, Father. Father, meet needs in people's lives. And help us most of all, Father, to be grounded in your word, Father. Made aware, Father. And Father, I pray that not one listening to this message will, Father, be on their road to hell carrying their Bible in their hand, Father, but they will have that relationship with Jesus Christ. And I give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.